Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You are listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, for Imperial and Mexicali Valleys. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingüe. And our phone number here at the station is area code 760-337-8874.
You had to read your tattoo, didn't you?
I know. I did. 1 week gets me, messes me up.
When we agreed to do the show like 7 years ago or so, we had to get like matching tattoos with the phone number and the radio call logo on it and practice it at home. But we're good now. Catch the podcast on KXORadio.com.
Thank you, Mario.
There we go.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was hard. It was distracting, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. That's why. That's my excuse.
I almost want to say we're not being taken over by aliens. It's okay. Because it's like
you are.
Exactly.
You get distracted by shiny stuff anyway.
No, that was a tough noise to work through. Much better. Thank you. Welcome, listeners. We're here with Mariana Vialas. My home manos. That wasn't horrible. She's the lead advocate of the Sure Helpline, and we have a fun topic today, people. Don't drive off the road.
It's a topic that a lot of parents makes them uncomfortable talking to their kids.
Have you guessed yet, listeners? Are you like, ooh, God, what are they going to talk about?
But it's something that happens naturally.
Your period?
We hope so.
We hope so.
Your period, that was good. And that's part of it, I suppose, huh?
I'm pretty sure it is.
So, Mariana, we're going to talk today about how to speak to our children about sex.
Yes.
Okay, that's the end of the show. I hope you enjoyed it today.
Well, I don't know if you wanted to ask any questions, but before, thank you for having me again.
Sure.
And I just want to make a very brief announcement. Sure Helpline Crisis Center has a new location. So we are going to be having an open house, so everybody's invited. It's going to be this Thursday, the 29th, from 4 to 7.
I got the invitation.
Yes, good. I've been sending out flyers.
1 week from today.
Yes, 1 week from today. So coming in, we have a lot of food. We're going to have a lot of activities, and just pretty much is to...
Is it a bigger location?
Yes, it's a bigger, better location, and it's going to be located at 210 Wake Avenue. Suite B, you know, I don't know if you guys are very familiar with the El Centro, but it's where the WTC World Training Center building is at.
It's right across the street from ABC Pediatrics.
Kind of.
Like in that area, right?
Yeah, well, a lot of people, you know, the point of reference.
The
point of reference that I use is Jackson Jill.
Jackson Jill, Social Security, that area.
That stuff. So everybody's welcome to go. I mean, you know. Just
isn't
come
that
and
like,
meet us.
I'm old school El Centro. Isn't that like Heber or something?
Almost.
Not there yet.
Heading south out of town somewhere?
No.
Scott.
The mall is a little bit closer to Heber.
There you go. Okay, so you're right over by Lucky's grocery store and that whole complex
there
of things
go.
Over
and,
there.
And we're inviting everybody so they can come and see the new location, the people that work there. And, you know, we just, you know, keep going strong. And, we know, we have a lot of goals for the future. And, you know, we're hoping that, you know, the community also gets involved. So. Yeah, but today the topic that we have that you have mentioned is how to talk to your kids about sex. And that's one of those topics that a lot of us didn't even heard of when we were growing up.
We can't hear you. We're plugging our ears right now.
Yes. and that's exactly what we're doing. We're covering our eyes.
You learn the stuff from the movies or from your friends.
Which is worst. You know, a lot of parents don't realize that. And one of the things that parents say, well, I'm not going to talk to my kids about sex because they're going to get ideas. About sex. Parents, guess what? They already know about sex. And the sad thing about it is they have the wrong information. And the wrong information, like Maria was saying, they get it from the internet, or they get it from books, they get it from, you know, a lot of the times magazines.
The women magazines or the...
Exactly. Cosmo,
the Cosmo, the Glamour.
And, exactly. And they don't understand the full concept of sex. Adults don't know the whole concept of sex.
I want to go two different directions.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm stuck in my head. So by sex, we're talking about the whole wide range of spectrum, not just the act itself, or
no. Actually, if we do that, Scott, we're gonna be here all day. And we only have an hour. So, you know, let's, you know, pretty much the point. I mean, what exactly is sex in terms of intercourse, you know, and in terms of body parts, what is actually sex? Because as we go along, you know, the conversation.
So basically two people doing stuff to each other.
Yeah. Well, what kind of things?
Or
God,
more,
I mean,
or
I can
something.
Be poking you right now. You know, that's not sex.
That's,
you know.
Yes.
Touching, but not
safe touching. But yeah, you know, pretty much what everybody's afraid of, you know, actually the act of having sex or intercourse.
Okay. That's good context.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's why.
But then there's the different kinds. I mean, of sex. You know, there's the sex that is man and woman,
mm-hmm.
woman and woman, man and man. You know,
there, yeah,
and
or then the
e other or something. Who
yeah,
knows?
And then all the other stuff.
Everything, all of the above. So, yeah, but, you know, most of them is like, how do I talk to my kids about
basic.
This? When is that?
The basic
yes,
stuff.
The basic
the
stuff. Like,
the basic, you know, just to...
Yeah, girl, boy,
birds
touching,
and the bees.
Kissing, yeah, that kind of stuff. Like, you know, what happens? I mean, how do I talk to my kids? You know, when is the right age? Well, essentially, when is the right age to start talking to kids? Since they start walking, pretty much, you know. If we talk about psychology and all this stuff, they know that we are sexual beings even before we are born. And if you guys have babies, you know, male babies, they are, you know, sometimes they have an erection as young as, you know, what, 3 days old. And it's just, those are just natural reflexes, mm-hmm. of course. But, you know, we have to start teaching our kids their body parts since they are growing up. And it's not about so they can know about their sexuality, it's because they have to be comfortable with their bodies. In a lot of the language that we use, for example, you know, we try to say, of course, we don't want to be vulgar when we reflect, you know, about their private parts. But, you know, but sometimes a lot of, you know, kids, for example, you know, the wee-wee, the nini, the mm-hmm. titi, the all the stuff, you know, those are cute words. But, you know, as they grow up, they start learning, you know, the physiology of the body and they know the language. However, for a lot of stuff, and it has been proven that when they use those kind of words, it's not that they get confused, but we're also trying to prevent a lot of sexual assault or a lot of, because a lot of pedophiles, a lot of people that are mean in the world, you know, nasty people, mm-hmm. they use those kind of words to comfort them. They use those kind of words to in their heads, it's less threatening if I use the word nini or wee wee
mm-hmm.
when I'm touching you mm-hmm. than anything else. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's kind of like... That's why we want to also prevent that.
Well, I guess it's like the saying, knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power.
So yeah. So you're suggesting that little ones are best armed with the appropriate names of things?
Yes.
Instead of the vulgar names or the play names?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're not going to call it, you know the vulgar names. But, you know, pretty much their private parts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Their private parts. And that's all you have to. I mean, you don't have to. These are your private areas. And as they grow older, of course, when they're 6 and 7, they're going to see that in school. They're going to see that in physiology and in... You know, biology and all the stuff, and they're going to tell you, you know, this is your
but
penis.
But they don't see
vagina.
It the way that adults see it
of
because
not.
They're not geared that way yet, right?
No, they're not mm-hmm. geared the way it is. You know, it's just like you're teaching your child how to talk. If you want to tell a mama, this is a pencil, this is a note, but you're not going to tell it, this is a little pencil, and, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know.
All these cutie names.
Cutie names. I mean, they're good and they're cute, but it's been, you know, pretty much shown, you know, that it does delay their learning process because they hear that at home and then they hear another word somewhere else and they say, well, wait a minute.
What is that?
You know, I'm being taught this, but then I see this on mm-hmm. TV. And remember, right now we have a very powerful tool, which is the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much everybody knows how to use the internet now, and they have access to all kinds of things, you know. So, you know, that's to make sure that, you know, that we are in the right path. So.
Yeah.
When my kids were about, my boys, I got two boys that are older and a girl who's younger, but when my boys were probably about 7 or 8, they were on the internet and they were looking for Britney Spears' website, and they typed in the name wrong, and they got into one of those sites with quote.
And that's what I'm telling you about. See,
the look on their faces was precious.
was precious. I would be.
Shock and then looking down and looking away and trying to change the website without seeing it. It was too cool.
And if you guys didn't know this, a lot of people, they do that on purpose. They know that little kids are going to be looking and they don't know how to spell.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, they link for whatever. So, okay, you know, I'm going to spell Scott, you know, Dudley wrong. But I'm, I have a nasty website. So if it's a little kid looking and doesn't, even adults, I mean, I don't know how to spell your name, Scott. No, I do.
Yeah, but, I don't have websites either.
But, if I Google it or something, I do it wrong, I do it for that purpose. Mm-hmm. Because they are, their heads, like I said, they're dirty, so they're aiming into that kind of, you know, people. They're aiming into see. And it's curiosity. I mean, we're all curious about sex. But guess what? We are taught not to talk about it. We are taught not to say anything about it because culture. Sex is dirty.
Well, it could be the culture or it could
it
be
is
the,
a lot
the
of culture.
Why so much shame? Why so much?
That's why I want to know, Scott. It's because, you know, we are raised, you know, especially, you know, Hispanics, Catholics, and I'm not, you know, pretty much precise, but we're very conservative, you know, pretty much community. And we don't talk about those things because we were not taught to talk about those things.
Is there a touch of evil or badness with sex?
You know, it's in a lot of culture, it is to be that it's dirty and it's just for the purpose of, you know, pretty much procreating another life or bringing another.
Seems to work for that, just if you do it a certain way. Anyway.
Exactly.
I remember back when I was in young. 20-something years ago, there was a family planning here in the valley, and you know you could get free contraceptives.
You still have those,
and it was right here on Main Street, but it was family planning, and I don't know what happened to it.
Yeah, you know what happened to it. It's and this is one of the things that I heard is you know a lot of people were ashamed to go in there. The funding also was cut, and you know of course, I mean if you're a teenager and you want to talk about sex, you don't want to talk to your parents. Where do you go? Who are my most immediate sources to know about sex? My friends. And guess what? I mean, it's like, hey, I'm Brittany, and you know I'm Mariana's best friend. And guess what? You know, you see this airhead, you know, girl thinking, you know, this is my daughter's friend, and it's like, don't worry, I'll teach your daughter about sex.
So as a parent, it sounds like your take-home message here is it may be uncomfortable to talk about. However, if you don't talk about it,
yes,
when they're 11 or 12.
It's like
why is it that we have so many teen pregnancies?
Exactly,
here in the
and then it's like I'm saying, you know, the blind leading the blind.
It's really,
right,
I mean,
right.
it's a lot of hypocrisy. A lot of hypocrisy. You know, we don't want to talk about sex. You know, we don't want to provide the funding for contraceptives, and we don't want, you know, I don't want you to come to my school to talk about sex.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, you know, we have a lot of teen pregnancies.
Exactly.
So, and if you don't get over your shame until they're 15, 16, it may be too
late. Because now we're having kids having sex at age 12, 11.
And having their babies at 13 and
13.
14.
And people don't realize this. What happened? I told you to take care of you, and I told her, you know, not to be having sex. Guess what? They're going to do it anyways. You tell them not to smoke, and they smoke. They tell them not to drink, and they drink. They tell them not to drive, they drive. So if you tell them not to have sex, they're going to go ahead and have sex. And one of the things, one of the responses that I got from somebody here in the valley is like, okay, why is there so much pregnancy? And this came from a teenager, because there's nothing else to do here in the valley. I said, oh my God. So I mean, is it because they're bored?
They're too bored to use birth control. I'm having a hard time figuring this out.
But you know, the same thing. I mean, it seems that always the sex is the responsibility of the girl.
Exactly.
And sometimes the men and sometimes the boys are not even mentioned.
And a lot of the times, that's why this is, I'm calling out to all the parents. If you get a pretty much a permission slip that we're going to talk to your kids about sex, fill them out. If you don't, you know, if you feel uncomfortable, you know, not giving the message to kids, then at least give us access for us to do it. And it's not like we're going to show them the Kama Sutra and we're not going to, you know, pretty much give them all these ideas that a lot of parents believe they are. No, we are going to tell them, you know, our main point here is pretty much be abstinent.
Kama who?
Exactly. We are focusing more on abstinence, right? But, you know, after the fact, I mean, we already have teenagers who are pregnant. You know, our main goal is make sure that same, you know, teen doesn't become pregnant again.
Because the whole thing is being abstinent. You know, it's the best thing is to be abstinent.
Abstinent.
But
isn't
if,
it abstinence makes the heart grow fonder or something?
I don't know. But if you're not abstinent, here is the information.
Exactly.
Here's the knowledge.
And
here's
why is the knowledge? Why? Because we also have like high instances
and
of chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis,
HIV.
You know, HIV, HPV.
Okay, now you're really bumming me out here.
No, but the thing is that the thing is that you just have, you know, it was you know, parents might say, oh, no, no, I don't want you to talk about my daughter, or I don't want you to talk to them about sex because it's going to get, you know what, if you have a good foundation at home.
Exactly.
Your kids are going to make the right decision.
Uh-huh. And it's not like we're going to tell them, you know, we're going to fluff out the pillows and put them in under the pillow so that you can, and put the condom
again,
in.
No. Again, if you have a good foundation at home.
So you're not going to normalize sex. And more to the point, I think sex is probably already normalized, quote unquote, in media and everywhere else in the world.
That's my next point. It's not we're trying to normalize it. It's just that we're trying to see that we have to be a little bit more open about it and talking to our kids about it. And mm-hmm. why? Because, again, they don't have the right information, and therefore they make mistakes.
So it's like credit cards. You're going to be a consumer someday in all likelihood.
Yeah, there you go.
You need to kind of think about which ones you want and how uh-huh. you want to use them and how to avoid trouble.
Exactly. Here's the credit. And if I give you a line of credit, if you don't use it responsibly, what's going to happen? Bankruptcy. You know, there's all these things. Mm-hmm. So when you talk to your kids about sex, tell them, you know, these are the consequences. Because if we tell them, you know what, don't have sex because I said so. Don't have sex because it's bad. Don't have sex because you're going to die.
Why?
You know,
you're keeping a secret from me, aren't you?
Exactly.
It's really funny,
like
isn't it?
The forbidden fruit.
No, it is not bad.
If it's so bad for you, how come everybody's doing it?
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Well, it's like, it's a forbidden fruit.
And like they say, you know, guilt is there, you know, from our parents to keep us from doing stuff that feels good, right? Mm-hmm. So we have this guilt trip. So what we're trying to figure out here is, you know, when do we start talking to our kids about sex? Why is it so important? Why? Because you're preventing them from being easy victims of sexual assault, first of all. Second of all, you're giving them the power and the knowledge, like you said. Third of all, to prevent mistakes. After all, they're just kids, and they're going to make a lot of mistakes in their lives. One of those mistakes, you know, can be pregnancy. And I'm not saying kids are a mistake, but when you're 15, 14, even 13 years of age, you know.
That's your whole childhood.
That's your whole
sexual childhood. Behavior is relatively high-risk behavior for young people. Yeah? Because there's bigger consequences.
There are bigger the consequences, of course. And one of the consequences is it's like having a child when you're not ready. And we have to make them responsible. And a lot of the times, why do I have to teach my kids this? I mean, I learned on my own. I mean, I learned by pretty much, you know, genetics and all this stuff. You know, it's just pretty much, you know, why do I have to teach them that? And I said, well, this is the stuff.
Do they really know? Come on.
Who? The parents?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Some parents don't know because
exactly.
They've been married to one person all their lives, and that was it.
Ovulation cycle.
And that's LPH
hormone.
That's what my next point is. You know, how do you talk to your kids if you don't have the right information? I will suggest you do the homework. Get on websites. There's a lot of stuff that you can, you know, just print out the name, you know, how to talk to your kids about sex. We have to start being a long, like, conversation.
That won't accidentally take you to the wrong website.
Or no, they can just take the kids, right, or they can go to the Sure Helpline.
Exactly.
Get information right there.
Exactly. And I was telling that yesterday to Raquel and Berta because I have mothers and kids. You know what? I have a pot on my kid's drawer, and I don't know what to do with him, so they just like, okay, bring him over. So they just go and they drop him over and they say, okay, teach him about pot or marijuana or whatever. And that's exactly what we do. We, you know, we sit them down, we take them, you know, we show them pictures, we tell them about all of the effects of marijuana, you know, all the stuff. Mm-hmm. We show them videos, and that's very good information. The same thing that you guys can do. Because another thing, if you are not prepared to talk to your kids about sex and you don't have the right information, you are also sending a negative message mm-hmm. to your kids. If you have certain values you have, you are transmitting that to your kids. And kids are very smart. They know when you know stuff and they know when you don't know. Like, oh, my mom's just talking smack, you know, she doesn't know anything, right? Of course.
I'm getting filtered information here.
Exactly, like, that's not what I heard, or that's not what my friends told me.
Well,
and they can sense it on your body language.
If it's not authentic, then they'll just go somewhere else to get it.
Exactly. Yeah.
They'll even stop asking you, because you're just going to make up
and
stuff.
And like I
anyway.
Said, and the thing mm-hmm. is, the kids are not smart enough a lot of the times, because they're inexperienced, not because they're dumb, because they are inexperienced. So they're trying to look for the most resourceable thing of information, but it's not the right one. They're thinking, okay, well, my friend knows because she's been having sex for 5 months now and she hasn't gotten pregnant, so she might be doing something right. So they go into the best friend and they ask the friend, and again, the blind leading the blind, because it worked for you doesn't mean it's gonna work for the other
and then
person.
The first time they have that pregnant,
they get pregnant. I don't know, you say you never had sex, what, you know,
or they get a sexually transmitted disease that they don't even know that they're carrying, that affects their ability to have children later
in the
future, whatever.
And not only that, I mean, there's so many other stuff that can go wrong. You know, they can pretty much have another you know, thinking that sex is going to be something beautiful and nice if they have the right information. But what if the first time they have sex is with somebody that they don't care about them and they dump them?
Yeah, it's really icky sex.
Exactly. Or you know, they just...
Or assaulted.
Or sexually assaulted. And they say, well, my first time is supposed to be something beautiful, but now it's something negative. So that's why, you know, there's a lot of reasons why do we have to talk about it. It's not just because we say, oh, my God, you know, how am I going to talk to them about it? You know, make it something very comfortable. Make it, and you don't have to sit down with them and make it something formal. I mean, make it informal. Maybe, you know, a good point that I always make, you know, how about if you start a conversation? What? How many of us have been in the situation where you're watching a movie and something comes up? What is the first thing that we do to our kids? Even the kids, they, you know, they cover their eyes because they know, but they don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. They know it's wrong, but they don't know why it's wrong. So that's a good point. Hey, you know what? Let me pause it and let's talk. Well, you know what they're doing? Well, they're having sex, so they have making love. I will use more making love because when we use the word making love, we're giving them a little bit of boundaries, more information as to, okay, it's making love. The two people, they love each other or they're married or something. And kids are smart. Now, they're not married. It's just a one-night stand. Okay, whatever, okay? But they're
they love each other.
They love each other because they will throw you that. You know, they will make sure they give you information.
Well, and you may have to talk about relationship sex versus non-relationship sex versus the pleasure of sex versus the procreation of
then
sex.
It's just, because the other one is just they don't love each other. They just...
Exactly.
Like each
exactly.
other, I guess.
And
I don't know.
And when you are young, I mean, hormones. Hormones are very powerful stuff. They're all over you. They take over you, you know, pretty much. And when you have those feelings and you don't know what to do with them because you've been given the wrong information all your life, you're stuck. And it's like,
well, you're trapped in a sexualized society,
exactly,
for starters.
Like, am I bad because I'm having these feelings? Am I bad? You know, I'm going to go to hell. And, you know, my parents are going to think that I'm easy. And, you know, why am I having this?
I'm like that little devil decal on the back of the truck.
No, I know. No, it's true. You know, then you get labeled. You get labeled as a, you know, those words.
Exactly. And that's why we have to make sure that our kids have the right information. Like I said, a lot of the stuff that, you know, the wall that they put is not giving us permission. For me, my job is a little bit harder because when I want to go talk to the kids about sexual assault, no, you can't go. It's the word, maybe sexual. They still don't hit us because it's a very
parents
hard
like
word.
To manage the environment that their kids are learning in.
Unfortunately, that's not the case anymore.
Because
there's
guess
so much
what? Our environment is handling us.
Right, you're right, right. But you know, like if, for example, somebody came to school and told my daughter what appropriate clothes to wear were, and it somehow differed from my view of that thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd be like, stop. Why are you guys doing that? And I think sexuality being that much bigger and meaner and tougher and scarier.
Yeah, but then, again, Scott, then you have to prepare your child to make sure that person can withstand criticism. It's going to be able to, a lot of bullying. It's going to be able to, you know, make sure. So it's your job as a parent to make sure that your kids are very strong individual as far. And guess what? A lot of the times we think they are at home because at home they can be something else and in school they're totally different. So we have to make sure that our kids have the same values and the same teachings that we have at home and take them somewhere else. Because once with their friends, parents, they become second. And their friends are their first priority. And they'll listen more to their friends. And of course, Maria says, you know what, they'll do the right thing at the end or something. But still, they're going to be misled into doing something else.
And I know you guys are hanging on every word that we're saying because this is a really interesting show. But we have to take a short break. This is Let's Talk About It, sponsored by Behavioral Health. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXOradio.com.
Welcome back. You're still listening to your weekly wellness radio. Let's Talk About It with Scott and Maria. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7. And again, our phone number here at the station is area code 760-337-8874. And if you missed, really good conversation right now we're having. If you missed the first half, you can always access it through our podcast at kxoradio.com.
We're here today with Mariana Villalaz, and she is the lead advocate for the SURE Helpline. If I just don't think about it, it happens okay, all right?
And we're talking about...
Kind of like something else.
And we're talking today about sex.
Sex, lots of sex. But, yeah, the conversation that we started is how do you talk to your kids about sex? We already talk about why it's important for them to have the right information coming from you. And if you guys think about it, I have a lot of teenagers that they'd rather have that information coming from their parents. Believe it or not.
Really?
Yes. Believe it or not, they said they would like their parents to talk about sex. I don't know if it's something about challenging their parents to actually have the guts to talk about sex. My kids don't have to challenge because I'll tell them, this is how it is. You know what I mean? You know,
it's straightforward.
It's straightforward and let them. Of course, I try not to be vulgar. I try to make it into a fun conversation. And I welcome them to be open about, you know, sex and, you know.
So you coach parents on how to talk to their kids?
Yeah, pretty much. Or we can give them if they feel pretty much more comfortable talking to a psychologist or somebody else they think they might have or, you know, somebody a little bit more experienced, you know, we can go ahead and do that. I do presentations for parents, and, you know, after a while, you know, it turns into a fun conversation because, after all, you know, sex, you know, it's a beautiful thing, and it can be fun when it's done responsibly and in the, you know, age pretty much appropriate. And when we say that age appropriate, what does that mean? You know, it's when you are ready to take on responsibilities that comes with, you know, the sex. So, I mean, if you already have a job, you already finished, you know, college, and you have a degree, and you have everything going for it, well, fine. You know, if you happen to have unprotected sex and you have a kid, maybe you're not emotionally ready, but you're ready.
Full-time job with benefits.
Full-time job with benefits.
And a house with a mortgage. And oh.
And see, a lot of the things that kids don't understand is they get pregnant and say, well, you know, nothing's going to happen. Everybody has a baby and, you know, somebody...
I'll get some help. I'll get help.
It's actually almost normal in this community.
Mm-hmm. I'll get some financial help and, you know, and food stamps and...
And not only that, I mean, with the emotional aspects, like, oh, yeah, you know what, don't worry about it.
My mom will take care of it.
Yeah, you know, don't worry. Your mom will get mad, but then she'll get over it. You know, after all, it's going to be her grandchild. You know, that's why we have to, you know, also let them know, yeah, it's my grandchild, so, you know, I'll come and I'll see him, and, you know, you want to bring him over, but, you know, then it's your turn to take him, you know, mm-hmm. take the baby home, and, you know, because that's what happens, you know, in past generations, the grandma will take over the, you know, to still, how many kids do we have in foster care or in the father stuff that their main providers are grandmas? You know, and it's very unfair because they already raised us. They already have their whole life, you know, so they can enjoy. So it's not fair that, you know, I might have an 18-year-old daughter, and I don't want my daughter. I don't look like a grandma.
Well, and, you know, you...
But no, but then... But hold on. But there's also the cultural part of it is that you are going to take care of your family, even though, you know, your daughter or your son ended up getting pregnant, having a kid. You can't say no to family, so you. That's
yes,
why they.
That's true.
They
have.
They
that,
can. You know. They take care of them. They take over it. Mm-hmm. You know. How can I say she's my daughter? You know.
But
she's.
Yes.
What
is
my grandson?
What are people gonna say?
She's
you know.
My grandson. Or
but
my
guess
grandson.
What? Every action that doesn't have a consequence is an action that's going to be repeated. So if you are teaching your kid, for example, you know what? Fine. You know, I'll let you go this time. They're gonna keep repeating.
Well,
so
yeah.
There's not consequences. So if you end up
and
being
know,
pregnant,
yeah. We know that there's.
And
like,
there's not a consequence. Like you have. To, oh, you know what, mom? You know, I'm getting out of school. Can you? Nope. You're taking care of your child. Can I go out and okay, fine. You wanna go out? I'll take care of them from this time to this time, and then I'm, you know, I'm gonna start charging you. Yeah. Because everywhere you take your kids, they're going to charge you money to take care of that kid.
And that's and then we see these households that have sometimes four generations living in one house.
Mm-hmm, because they don't, you know, they're not prepared.
So when I lean forward to talk to my 10-year-old daughter about this, I should say...
About sex?
Sex is really fun, and a lot of people think it's pretty cool. Pregnancy is the number one consequence. Is that
number
what
one.
You're suggesting?
It's I'm not
and
so much...
And second, STDs.
It's not that I'm... I mean, it can be... Well, and like I said, don't get me wrong. A lot of people are like, aha, I didn't get pregnant. But guess what? I have an STD. Now I have to pretty much get myself checked and all this stuff. How do you handle
but
a
I should
kid?
Spend some time on pregnancy first because that's the one that, you know, really impacts
it's,
lives.
Well, it's pretty much, yeah, impacts a lot because, you know, there's a lot of responsibility. You are taking care of another life.
You
want to
really have fun? Stay single until you're 30 without
exactly.
kids.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's, yes.
I did that.
And it wasn't fun? Of course.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I didn't have kids very young, but I didn't have them very old either. But still, you know, I make sure that I was able to give my kids a little bit more. And kids don't realize that. You know, everything's fine. What's so wrong? They still don't understand what's wrong about, you know, not having, what's wrong about not having kids, you know. And, well, I don't want to be an old parent. Or it's like,
no, it comes with its own costs, just like everything else.
Everything. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about, you know, how am I going to talk to my kid about this? And like they said, if I don't talk to my kids about sex, somebody else's, you know, somebody else will. How can we can talk about
them,
religion?
They're going to give them the wrong information.
Yes, how can we talk about, you know, hey, come here, you know, I'm going to show you how to make tortillas. Do the same thing. I'm not going to show you how to have sex.
That was the analogy that was in my head, too. If you can talk about that.
Exactly. But why can you talk about sex? Because, like I said, culture, because of religion, because of all the politics.
And shame.
You know, it's put into, nah, sex is bad. Sex is
bad. Hi, I am your parent, and I am a sexual being.
No. Well, I mean, talking about. I mean, we're not going to mention any names.
Like,
we're not going to mention any names, but one of the candidates right now in the politics on the Republican, you know, what did he say about sex? You know.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Or not only that one, a former president of ours, what it says, oral sex is not sex. So guess what? A lot of kid followers is not sex. That's why we also have to let them know. What is sex? Let's talk about penetration now. Let's think about intercourse. And why do we want to talk about that? Because like
know.
I said, kids are tricky. And why I say what kids are tricky, this is the trick. Kids a lot of the times engage into anal sex and oral sex, thinking that that's how they're going to stay virgins. So if I say, okay, fine, you know, it's not actually sex because I'm not having vaginal sex, but I'm getting anal sex and I'm giving oral sex. So therefore, I'm still a virgin. That's not sex. According to their, you know, analogy of what sex is, or information, or mixed signals, or
and
whatever.
You may be limiting your pregnancy risk.
Exactly. That's what they think. And if you see it, you know, people that have got, you know, anal sex, you know, they can get pregnant. You know, the sperm can travel to the vagina, you know, You know, it's a very lower...
But you can get also STDs.
But you can...
It's a higher risk
to have anal sex because, you know, the anal part, you know, is more sensitive. It absorbs more. It's complicated, but you have more,
The design flaw.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's things that kids don't understand. You see why? Like I said, they're just trying to jump from another hoop. You know, it's like, fine, you know, how... They tell me not to have sex because I'm going to get pregnant, so I'm going to do this
otherwise. And they'd always do that. Teenagers always do that. They'll find another way.
I don't do that.
A workaround.
They'll work around it.
Even a special word for it.
Exactly. They'll work around it, you know, and to anything that will work to their advantage and for them to feel less guilty and less responsible for their actions.
So sex is any sort of pleasuring attention paid to the private parts. Is that where we're at here? Is that what we tell kids?
Well... If you want to do that. But like I said, you have to be very specific, but as specific and not as like the way. You know, you have to let them know about the whole sex, you know, how the whole act. There's movies. If you don't feel comfortable, hey, there's The Miracle of Life by Nova. You know, it tells you about the relationship of a woman and a woman and when they're married and all this stuff. And then it gives you all the stuff from, you know, from the time of conception to the time of birth. And then, you know, it's very interesting. So
you have those videos at...
Nova, that one we don't have it, but we're in the process of getting it. That's, you know, that's something. And like I said, you know, that's on YouTube. I mean, kids can YouTube. You YouTube it for them. It's called The Miracle of Life by Nova, and you put it in there. And it's very nice. It's a very good documentary by that Discovery Channel, Nova.
You can make some popcorn, sit on the couch.
Exactly. And let's
make it a movie night.
Exactly. And that can be your link into talking to your kids about sex. Have a whole family. I mean, for many people, it's like, yeah, right. Like, I'm going to put a documentary.
Well, and that's a pretty natural link because babies are kind of a naturally seen part of the end result of
sexual
behavior.
And it's not something very brutal because, like I said, we're talking about since you met people and then you see the little sperm and you see the little egg, you see everything. So it's pretty, pretty good. You know, it's a lot of information and it gives you straightforward information. It tells you what they need to know in case you don't feel comfortable talking or maybe just for your own educational purposes.
Oh, and even if you wanted to kind of like watch it first before you talk to your kid, watch by yourself and kind of get comfortable with the stuff on it.
Exactly, pretty much. And like I said, those are the things that you want to do. Make it like, don't make it so formal like, okay, today's Wednesday and today's the 22nd. I'm going to talk to my kid about sex today. Because when you do things like when you program today, sometimes they come out good, sometimes they don't. So it's easy if it floats by itself sometimes. So.
Make a date. You see, you can make a date today. I got something important to talk to you about. When's a good time? When, you're not too busy, I'm not too busy. We could just sit down. And
it can be a kind of like a yucky feeling, a yucky topic. Like, how am I going to do this? Do I have to? And once you see...
Particularly if you've never done it. Particularly if you've always kind of shied away from any of those types of discussions.
And you have to make yourself comfortable to talk about it, and you have to make your kids go. Because if you're both tense and they see you're tense, they're going to be tense. But if you see it in a more relaxed environment, you're going
to
be
relaxed. Well, and, you know, to me, it's like, to me, it's like, if you feel something, just spit it out. You say, you know, I am really tense about this.
Me too, but there's a lot of people.
But it's something I think we need to talk about.
Yes, but there are a lot of people, a lot of parents out there that do not have what we have. That it's just like, you know, pretty much you and I are very similar. We're pretty much able to talk about anything without blushing or without giggling or something. But not everybody's the same. So we have to make sure that, you know, if you're one of those parents that you can don't feel comfortable, you know, come and talk to me, you know, give us a call. I'll give you the tools that
there
you need.
Workarounds.
Exactly. There are workarounds that you can do, and, you know, we'll pretty much give you the information that you need.
But if you think it's important to do, and I think one of the takeaways today is that it's important to probably do it before you think you need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're already at the point where you think, well, I better start talking about sex to this kid, you may be too late.
Exactly. And also,
what are we looking at, like 11, 12?
I will say a little bit.
I mean, when we really start talking about kind of
the whole intercourse thing.
Yes.
Because
the adult nature of sexuality.
Exactly. Because, like I said, if you think they don't know,
well, they're marketing sexuality to 11 and 12 year olds.
Exactly.
So, you know, they
and they're targeted. We have to make sure that they're already prepared. So when, you know, something comes out on TV, they already know and they have the right information. If they go into a website, they already know and they have the right information. You know, if somebody comes in school with a magazine, they already know and they have the right information. That's what we're aiming at. You know, make sure that they are prepared for the future, for the things they're going to see later on.
Well, and it seems like that's almost right from a developmental perspective, because you've got this time in kids' lives called latency.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to think in latency that your sexuality just got turned off.
Exactly.
Completely. And now they're kind of, not exactly. But so they've backed off of that a little bit. But it's still a time of relative calm.
And again,
it
comes
preteen years where
exactly, and it comes again with that, you know, hypocrisy of it all, where like parents all don't have sex, but you know, it's on TV, it's on the radio, it's on the games, it's on cartoons, it's everywhere, everywhere. I mean, kids are listening to songs, and if you see the songs that they hear now, everything it's about sex.
Everything
is about sex. So those are the, you know, that's the wrong information. So when they already hear the stuff, they say, oh, yeah, they're talking about sex, but that's another kind of sex.
It's interesting because it's a really important part of being human, no doubt. Sexuality is a big deal.
Well, we're all human beings.
Yet it seems like it's taken and used as a marketing tool to get you to do everything else in life.
Everything it's about
so
sex.
It's like, because sex is such a natural attractant,
sex
if you
will. Sells. I mean, yes. Everything in sex. I mean, if we're talking about, you know, all of the stuff about marketing, you know, what is it? Beer, girls, all the stuff.
Oh, yeah. Everything gets connected back to
sex.
Know, yeah. Well, and the odd thing is even repressive sexuality. So even the kind of it's forbidden, it's evil, it's shameful, don't talk about it, never do it unless you're making a baby, you know, that kind of a line. Even that tends to kind of magnify it somehow.
And we haven't even, like I said, you know, sex can be a long like conversation. We're just talking about right now, and I'm going to go into another strong point, and masturbation. You know, how many times do we see kids, you know, that they don't, you can't.
Boy, there's a difficult
topic
to talk to your kids about, huh?
Yeah, but it's also part of growing up. Because kids feel ashamed. Kids feel like there's something wrong. Kids feel they're...
Yeah, I'm embarrassed. I'm blushing, right?
Yeah, you are. And because why? You know, they want to know. And it's, and like I said, it's again that guilt that they think, you know what, they teach me in, you know, in this class that
well,
if you masturbate,
and
it's bad and I'm doing it. I mean,
you talk about comparative risk.
Yes.
Masturbation is a fairly low-risk sexual activity as long as you're confining yourself to private places.
Exactly. So, and it's a part, it's a natural part of growing up. I don't, you know, if people don't agree with it or stuff like that, it's just like, how can she talk up in the radio about that? But it's the truth.
Is it impossible to avoid?
When?
Masturbation.
It's not impossible. I mean, if you have a very strong mind, yes, you can go ahead and, you know, your mind can just pretty much mind over matter. I mean, yeah, you can do whatever you want as far as...
Right, but even for guys,
again,
it happens in your sleep, right?
Yes, so. And again, we're not trying to say, yes, you know, it's natural, do it. You know, we have to teach our kids there's something very private that it has to do behind clothes, that, you know, it's something that it's a natural feeling that they shouldn't be ashamed of, you know, stuff like that. You know, have those boundaries, have those values.
You've got a body, And that body comes with a sexual drive.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, NOVA and those programs are very good, you know, documentaries. Don't be afraid of documentaries. Documentaries are really good. It teaches you the right information, especially all the ones from the Discovery Channel, History Channel. They have very good information. Go to the library and, you know, pretty much, like I said, YouTube and have.
Are there any good Spanish sources? I mean, this is
an
English show, but.
For the NOVA, they also have every... The good thing about NOVA, they have the same information in Spanish.
So NOVA, NOVA?
Mm-hmm. NOVA. It's N-O-V-A.
Where does... Does it go anywhere?
It's pretty much...
NOVA?
NOVA. It's pretty much from the Discovery Channel. And like I said, it has a lot of good information. If in case you guys don't feel comfortable talking to your kids about sex or anything like that. But I will say again, you know, start a long life conversation with your kids. Touch, you know, tell them about their private parts. What are their private parts? You know, why, you know, teach them about everything that you can.
Well, because there's some dissonance. I mean, on the one hand, we don't want our kids to suffer.
Exactly.
We don't want bad things to happen to
them. But if we don't give them the tools in order for them
exactly,
to survive,
exactly.
How we can expect not to get hurt? So if a teenager comes home and is like, Mom, I'm pregnant. Why? How did that happen? Well, I had sex, okay. But didn't I talk to you about sex? No, Mom, you told me not to have it, but you didn't explain to me the consequences. You told me, yes, I was going to have a baby, but I still don't understand.
Well, and in my head, even if you perfectly manage your sexuality with other people as a teen or whatever, the emotional connections and consequences of sexual behavior speak to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've talked about STDs, we've talked about pregnancy, we've talked about, you know, sexual violence. What about a broken heart?
Exactly. That comes with the emotional, too. I mean, people, girls, they have a tendency to feel more used when they're already engaged in a sexual relationship.
Because
and then
there's
they get
no
done.
Way to measure how intimate that is for
exactly.
you
and
as opposed to me.
And that's when the values come from. That's when we teach our kids, you know, there's values. You know, you're not, if you're just not going to get pregnant, or you're just not going to get an STD. But again, what about your heart? If you really, really love this boy or really, really love this girl, remember, sex is about communication and connection,
well,
too.
Well, if this were your most special gift, if
exactly.
that's the way you valued it, and the other person didn't value it that way.
Exactly. So then you're bound to get hurt, and then you feel used, abused, and all of the above. So that's what we have to how can we prevent that? By start talking to them, you know, little by little, you know, throughout their lives. You know what? You need to be prepared to have sex. Why are you emotionally okay to have sex? You know, are you ready with the consequences of having sex? Mom, but what are the consequences? Again, you can get your heart broken. You can get an STD. You can get
what have you seen in your friends so far? You know?
Exactly. But again, they don't use that as an... If they're their friends, they're going to defend their friends.
So there's
to
a
the
ready... So you're saying it's almost like a readiness model would work the best.
Exactly.
And you would just sit down with your kid and say, okay, let's look at what might help you to decide if you're ready. Because at some point, you're going to have to make that decision.
And don't do it until it's too late, until, you know, she's already pregnant or he's going to already... Because I'm targeting all two males, you know... Don't think that because she's the one carrying the baby, you have less responsibility. You also have to understand that you're going to be a father for the rest of your life. Maybe you're not carrying the child inside of you, but guess what? You are responsible for that child.
Or you're going to go around having lots of casual sex and hurting people.
Exactly.
Are you ready for that? You got yours, but what about the rest of the world, huh?
And tell them, you know, confront. Are you ready for that responsibility? Are you ready to make sure that after school you're going to have a job and forget about your friends or having friends once in a while? Because now your first priority is to make sure that you take care of that baby. Yeah. And not only for money, but you have to be there. Because if you don't take care of the baby, that baby is going to grow up being all this stuff. So there's a lot of kids like examples, and they need to make sure that they know all of the possibilities, all of the things that can happen. And again, if you don't have that information, give us a call. You know, we make sure that we give you the, you know, the alternatives. You know, these are just, you know, suggestions. And you get, you know, I'll give you a suggestion box, and I'll give you a toolbox, and then you get from there what you need from that. Because I cannot tell you how to raise your kid. I cannot tell you how you can do that.
Out of all the important things that people have to choose, choose a career, choose a partner, choose a college to go to, choose whatever those choices are. Sexuality is like really important.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of the top ones on the list.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you I'm gonna give you the resources, you know.
Yes, and because it's such an important choice, you
exactly.
wouldn't want to just kind of stumble into it.
Exactly. So
and end up in a place that you really didn't expect or understand that was where your behavior was going to take you.
Exactly. And let them know, like, again, the concept. I'll keep going back to the consequences because they don't know. They don't think ahead. It's like, I'm going to leave today, and if it happens, happens. If not, I'll figure it out.
This is kind of an odd question, but how does sexual abuse fit into this spectrum? Because, you know, we're talking about talking to our teenagers about sex, but I think maybe the point we're ignoring is that perhaps 20% of those people have been, one out of five, have been sexually abused prior to even becoming sexual beings mm-hmm. themselves.
And a lot of instances too, and that's why we have to touch.
What do we do? What do we do about that? What do we do?
Prevention. A lot of prevention. Again, start talking to them since they're small. We are developing something called Safe Touch, and there's something, it's going to be modeled towards, you know, kids 0 to 5. And 0 to 5 is to let them know their boundaries, let them know that they have a body and they have the right to, you know, for them to say no. Because when you have, you know, pretty much an adult or somebody who's a model for us, and you say, well, I own this person respect, and this person is either my father or my uncle or my grandpa, how can I say no? And that's when we talk about, you know, the nini, the wee wee, and make them comfortable. They,
well, yeah,
they
yeah,
will
yeah,
use
yeah,
that
yeah,
language.
Predatory
so when,
people
exactly.
have all sorts of tricks.
So that's why when you give the kids the knowledge, like, hey, I know you're touching my private part, you're not supposed to do that. Mom, you know, so-and-so is touching my penis and is touching my privates. And I told them no. We have to make sure that we educate our kids. And how are we going to educate it? By giving them the right information.
By giving them the right to speak for themselves.
For themselves. You know, and making sure that they're going to be, you know, pretty much armed for all kinds of sources outside and inside the home. That's why we have to. And like you said, in the spectrum, you know, a lot of things, again, you know, kids may, you know, when they're older, they might, you know, thinking that, you know, they, this person loves you very much and they have some sort of rough sex and they end up raping you.
Might that be one of the reasons it's difficult to go ahead and talk to kids, you know, when they're 11 or 12, about sexual behavior, because we should have talked to them about safe
exactly.
touch when they were 3 or 4,
exactly.
and we kind of missed that one, and now we're like, oh,
exactly.
now I don't really want to talk about it because I may have put you in an unsafe position.
Exactly, exactly. And again, if we do something very normal, I mean, if they ask you, Mom, what's a penis? You know, they'll get, ah, when they're small, oh, you know, that's a private part that little boys have, you know, that men have. That's why it's called a penis, okay? But you can call it your privates. But don't get shocked and don't get like, oh, my God, where did he get that penis word? Oh, my God, I want to suicide. No, just, oh, you know, that's how, you know, your private part is called. It's called a penis. And girls have a vagina or this, they have this. They are called private parts, okay, baby? All right, now go on and play. Don't give them too much information all at once, too, if they're really
right, yeah.
young, because too much information can be also be overwhelming.
Well, and they don't understand
exactly.
it the way adults do.
And so the kid is just going to say, oh, okay, bye.
So they're never going to get why somebody even would want to touch what kind of gratification people get
exactly.
from that.
Exactly. No,
they're kids.
Exactly. So it's like, oh, okay, now I know what it is. Because they're going to hear that word. And like I said, they're going to hear all kinds of nasty words
so
out there.
So it's just as simple as look both ways before you cross the street.
Exactly. It's as simple
it's
as that.
Thing,
if your kid comes to you and asks you, Mom, what's a condom? Mom, what's, you know, what's a pad? Mom, what's... Let them know what it is. And give them that right information. Don't be afraid, because if you don't give them the right information, they're going to look for that information. And like I said, most likely your kid's going to say, oh, so that's what it is. All right. Okay, see ya. Bye. They got the information from Mom. They got the information from... And if you don't know, Google it. Call us. You know, let us know. If you don't know what that says, oh, you know what, baby? Let me... I'll let you know in a little bit. And research it. Make sure that you go back to them and tell them. It's very important because they're trusting you. They're pretty much letting you know that, you know, they want you to give them the information.
And as always, if you don't have anywhere else that you think you can turn, please turn to the Sure
Helpline Crisis Center. Our phone number is at 760-352-7873, 24 hours a day, free of charge, confidential.
And you're relocating.
Relocating. We already relocated.
Are you actually going to get like an office now instead of like in the entryway?
Yes. I have my own office now.
With a window?
With a window.
Whoa. You
with
have arrived.
VIP.
So 210 Wake.
210 Wake Avenue, Suite B.
Over by Lucky's. Just keep going towards the golf course.
Yes.
You'll find it.
You're going to find it and you're going to see
it. Just get a big sign out front and stuff.
Yeah,
so you can see
we have a sign right there that says, but we make sure that everybody goes to our open house on the 29th. For today, we have a lot of great food. A lot of people are, you know, already saying that they're going. So, you know.
It starts what time?
4 o'clock.
Four o'clock until seven?
7 o'clock.
Right.
Yes, four to
so
seven.
We can go over there, eat some snacks, hit Jackson Jill's for a quick workout.
Exactly. And
pick up some groceries on the way home.
Exactly. And you can do all kinds of things. Get information, you know, get acquainted with us, you know, ask us for information, whatever you guys want to do. So make sure you stop.
Great. So. What else do you guys do during the course of the year? I mean, we're going to do a little killing time until Mario gets back to the radio.
Actually, next month will be Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and we are preparing for that. So I'm going to be hitting you up to get some information out.
May, when spring happens and the flowers bud and the trees.
No, it starts in the first, the whole
My
month.
Hummingbirds are pregnant, yeah. And it's a really odd thing to say, but
it's
they're full of eggs
already.
Right now. So
it started yesterday, so... we're going to give you a lot of information for next month about sexual assault. We're going to have the guacamole in her shoes. We are working on the denim project, the denim day. We're also going to be hosting the 40th year anniversary for Shore Hopline Crisis Center. We're going to have a big dinner dance party, you know, pretty much fundraiser.
Wow.
And everybody's
busy month.
Yes.
Well, as a regular guest of the show, you could sneak in here maybe if that
yes.
works out. And
yes,
we'll
definitely.
We'll do a show about sexual violence.
Exactly. And that's my main, you know, that's what I'm here also to talk to you about, sexual assault, rape, sexual violence.
Thanks for coming
thing.
Aboard, Mariana.
Thank you so much, Scott, for having
Always
me.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Join us again next week for another exciting episode of Let's Talk to It, brought to you by your friends at Imperial County Behavioral Health. On behalf of Maria, this is Scott. Mario's on the board. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KGBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.